You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, look at that. There's some music. That means it's time for Animal Talk. Some of the best doggone pet people on the planet here to help you with your pets. Whatever the problem is, pet professionals standing by, ready, willing to help you out and just have some fun and talk about some critical animal issues. Sitting behind the glass today.
Oh, Matt Fox, and I kind of I accessorized with the studio today.
You did?
I did.
He's a man in black. And I'm Jamie Flanagan, just making sure everybody has a good time. Animal Talk, it is America's Pet Show. And on the show with us today, we're going to be talking about a very endangered species. Matt, what would you think if I said there's a mammal on this planet and there's only 20 of them left?
I would say we're in serious trouble.
It's like
bees.
Trouble.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there's a dolphin outside of Mexico, I want to say, it's in trouble. And there's a great group of conservationists started by Paul Watson.
Oh, my goodness.
He was one of the people who founded Greenpeace, and he felt Greenpeace wasn't doing enough. So wrap your head around that. Greenpeace wasn't doing enough, so Paul left, and he started the Sea Shepherd organization. Because Paul always says, if the oceans die,
we die. Yeah.
So they really try to safeguard the oceans and the really messed up things happening in the ocean. And we're going to be talking to Captain Peter Hammerstead of the Sharpie of the Sea Shepherd Fleet coming up here today on Animal, talking about that, talking about what they got going on and this animal that I think there's only like 20 of them left.
Oh,
now, Peter's going to clue us in about that whole story.
So not only are they endangered, they are critically endangered. That's sad.
And why they're endangered, it's just greed. And it comes down to just greed. But we're going to talk more about that coming up before you know it, Matt. And we're also just going to have some fun talking about there's a crazy story I came across about a rat winning a gold medal. I know, a rat winning a gold medal.
Okay.
Yeah. So
one more gold medal than I've won, but a rat.
That's
okay.
It. Cambodian landmine detecting rat awarded with a miniature gold medal for life-saving bravery.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. So is there anything that you would win a gold medal for, Matthew?
Yeah, my driving, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah.
Or my personality, because I have a gold-winning personality.
That is it. So Magua can search the area the size of a tennis court for landmines in 30 minutes, which would take a human with a metal detector 4 days. So a rat can cover the amount of ground in 30 minutes that it takes a person to cover in 4 days.
Crazy.
And saving a lot of lives, because there's these landmines. It's a tragedy in some of these countries where they've just been, there's been unrest, and these landmines get out there, and then the unrest either moves or dissipates, and then the people are getting hurt bad by these. I know it's dangerous that these rats have to do this work of finding and uncovering these landmines. I'm sure it doesn't end well for many of the rats.
Right.
But they do. And again, covering the area in 30 minutes that it would take a human.
That's craziness.
4 days to do. So I'm a gold medal for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that. But like I said, today on the show, we're talking about other conservation issues and saving. And Matt, I mentioned there's a creature that is critically endangered in the waters. And the folks that are helping patrol the waters and doing a fantastic job are the people with the Sea Shepherd Project. And with us today, Captain Peter Hammerstead from the Sea Shepherd. Captain, welcome aboard. Thanks for being with us on Animal Talk.
I don't know if he can hear us or not.
Oh.
You know what? Yeah, he should be able to hear us just fine. There he goes.
So, maybe? Yeah, we can wave at him. He's
hi.
He's a good looking He's a good-looking fella, so we'll wave. Are you hearing us? I'm thinking he's like he's shaking
us. Yeah.
No, here. All right. All right. So, well, we're going to work out those issues with that. And all right, that's on. That's on.
Isaac, you can hear me. I can't hear you at all.
We can hear you now?
I got you now.
Are you hearing us? We got him.
Yeah, we got you.
All right.
All right.
All right, we hear him. Maybe he's got the wrong thing up.
Darn it.
So we didn't have number 7 up there or whatever that was?
Yeah, number 7 is up.
All right. So and
I got number 7 up.
What do you have on the magic wheel in there?
All right.
Hang on, we're getting there for a second. On the audio. Nope, go back to the
You know
magic
what?
Wheel.
There it is. You should be able to hear us now.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, was that
Sam? Now I hear you.
Hey, now it's guys.
Okay, yep.
Yep, there he is. That was my fault, Captain. I had the one camera that is vacant right now. We're expecting another visitor here. I had that not in the stream.
So. Ah, so there we are. So, yes. Peter, the introduction I just gave for you was astounding.
I'll take your word for it, Jamie.
best rehearsal ever. But what we were alluding to was that there is a critter. There's a mammal out there that is critically endangered and down to something like 20 of them left. It's a porpoise or a dolphin, there. And you guys are the ones looking over the sea shepherds. You guys are really doing some amazing work, out on the oceans, for conservation and standing up to poachers and people fishing illegally and improperly. And these guys are falling victim to them. So where are the numbers at for this creature?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, Jamie and Matt as well. I mean, really, the only reason we're able to be effective on the front lines is because people like you and your audience support the work that we do. And this is the most endangered marine mammal in the world. There's less than 20 of them. Some estimates are as low as 6 left. What gives us some hope is that during the last Vaquita sighting survey that we participated in last year, we did see a number of mother and calf pairs. And that gives us hope that these Vaquita can rebound, but it requires us being on the front lines every single day and pulling up illegal fishing gear that will trap these animals, will suffocate these animals if passionate and compassionate people do not intervene.
Because they're mammals, they gotta breathe, so they gotta surface. If they get tangled up in these nets, that's it. That's a painful way to go for them.
And that's right. They're mammals like us, so they need to breathe at the surface of the water. And so they get entangled in these invisible curtains of death, these deep-setted gill nets. Poachers use to catch another endangered creature, a fish called the totowaba, that they capture in order to harvest the swim bladder, which is shipped off to the black market in China. Mm. So they're in pursuit of one endangered animal while killing a critically endangered mammal at the same time, because these nets don't distinguish between species. They capture everything. They're invisible. And so these creatures swim in, they're caught, and they drown.
Huh. So these gill nets, I mean, how prolific is it? How big are these fleets out there doing these things with these gill nets? How many of these are you pulling in?
So the poachers have dozens of boats, and each gill net that they set can be hundreds of feet long. And so in the course of doing these campaigns over the past 5 years, we've pulled up over 1,000 gill nets, and we've freed over 4,000 animals, from dolphins to sea turtles to totowaba fish, that have and saved them, set them free, saved them from death.
There's actually there's a cool little video you guys sent along with the press release that kind of introduces what you're doing right now in the project. Matt, I think it's in there.
Okay.
If you want to scroll down and click the video.
This one right here?
No, it's a video. Oh. So it'll be in a video section.
Oh, and, right. There it is. That's background.
Nope. There you go. It's in the video section.
I'm looking.
One more down.
One more down. Oh, video clips. There it is. Okay.
Thank you.
we're muted while it plays. 100,000
is what we need efficiently.
Reach deck. There's a lot of tension in the net. We believe there's a big animal trap.
Wow.
This is as tense a situation as we can sort of have.
Although the poachers have changed their ways of fishing and they're becoming more and more aggressive, we have had a huge effect out here.
Yeah, donate. Honestly, donate.
Yeah,
donate.
Because I mean, running those boats and it's not a small crew. How many vessels are in the Sea Shepherd fleet right now?
So we have 8 vessels that are operating globally. 2 of them are off the coast of West Africa at the moment, where we're working to support governments to stop illegal fishing. And in the course of those partnerships, we've assisted 7 African coastal countries to arrest 54 vessels for illegal fishing and other fisheries crimes. Each one of these illegal fishing vessels is an illegal slaughterhouse that's been shut down. We have one vessel, the Sharpie, that has just arrived in the Vaquita Refuge. We'll start this tremendous effort of pulling up ghost nets, nets that have been left behind by poachers in years previous, and pulling them out of the sea. Hmm. All in all, we have 8 vessels, and they're engaged all around the world, all 7 seas, conducting direct intervention efforts to save marine wildlife.
So that the Sharpie there, is that that's the boat that you're captain of?
The vessel that I captain is called the Bob Barker, named after the Price is Right host of many years.
The Bob Barker. I love that.
Of animal rights fame. I think many people remember him from the 1980s, ending every show by reminding people to spay and neuter their companion animals. He was an incredibly generous man, is an incredibly generous man, and he's the one who purchased the vessel, donated the vessel that I captain.
Okay.
The Sharpie's named after another very generous, compassionate man named Chris Sharp, and he and his family have supported this effort to save the Vaquita now for a number of years, and we're very proud to have a ship that bears the name of his family.
That looks like a Coast Guard vessel.
It's a former U.S. Coast Guard vessel, and it's been said that we have the largest private navy in the world, and many of our vessels are formally of the Coast Guard or of navies.
Okay. Now, there's
the vessel that I captain, often the Bob Barker, actually used to be a whaling vessel.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always said that vessel has a karmic debt to live up to, and by saving whales now for the past 10 years, it's doing its best to live up to that.
So, Peter, if I can ask, what actually brought you to the point where you are now to become the captain of the Bob Barker? What led you upon the path to what you're on now?
Well, when I was 14 years old, I saw a picture of a dead minke whale being pulled up the slipway of an 8,000-ton floating slaughterhouse down in the Antarctic called the Nishan Maru, a ship that was targeting over 1,035 whales every single year. And when I saw that image of that dead whale, it just shocked me to the core. I just couldn't imagine that whales were still being killed in our time and our day. And when I realized that not only were whales being killed, but they were being killed in defiance of a global moratorium that banned whaling, I knew that the only way to really intervene was to join an organization like Sea Shepherd that was using direct action to get the job done, an organization that was measuring success by the number of lives that we were able to save and by the number of criminal operations that we were able to shut down.
If someone wanted to learn more about, you know, the Sea Shepherd, what you guys do, where are some of the resources that they can look into to do their own research and make up their own minds to help save the whales and sea life? Because as Jamie said earlier, if everything in the sea dies, we die, right? So where can folks go to find research and do their own research? I love it.
Sorry, excuse me. My
you're good. You're
bring
good.
Bring him to the camera. We love the poopers. Dogs. We love the puppies. There she is. We love the puppies.
That's a cute pup.
And your puppy's name?
His bark is better than his bite.
And your puppy's name is?
He is a rescue here from the city of Los Angeles.
And what is our puppy's name?
His name is Bowie.
Oh, Bowie. I like it.
Yes.
So, yeah, your website, where people can find out more.
So what's unique about Sea Shepherd is that our ships are predominantly crewed by volunteers.
Yeah.
So people can go onto our website and donate. They can go and volunteer and be on the front lines, pulling up nets every single day in the Vaquita Refuge. And they can also learn more about these issues and spread the word as to what's happening to the Vaquita and other endangered marine wildlife. And that website is www.seashepherd.org.
Oh, fair enough. There's so much to unpack with what you guys do on a daily basis.
And thank you guys.
And Bowie's awesome. Don't worry. Bowie's there fantastic.
There is so much work. There is so much work to be done.
Yeah.
And because we've had several people from the Sea Shepherd organization on.
Yes.
And they need volunteers for legal help and office help. And so even if you're like, I couldn't go out on a boat, that's crazy. But I do have some time and I wouldn't mind helping. You guys need help. In all facets, or, you know, getting out there and hands-on with that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's lots of ways people can help. Monetarily is always a big thing because, I mean, you got big crews, you got big boats. Mm-hmm. It's not a cheap adventure at all, I'm sure. But, yeah, we've talked to Paul a couple of times, and he's noted for saying, if the oceans die, we die. And right. That really stuck with me. So we bring it up as often as we can. So these particular, they're porpoises or dolphins?
They're porpoises.
Okay, so these porpoises, these porpoise, if they go away, so what?
Well, the key right. is they're a key creature in the marine wildlife ecosystem okay. of the Upper Gulf of California. And if the poachers were to wipe out the vaquita, they would continue to go on to wipe out the Totoaba fish. And we have no idea what effect it would have on the marine ecosystem to remove one of these critical predators. There's a cascade effect. And what we're seeing is if you remove critical species like sharks, for example, out of the equation, and shark populations in the Atlantic have fallen by 90% in the past 30 years, the effect can be absolutely disastrous. We need these apex predators to regulate the health of our ecosystem. And an ecosystem is only as strong as biodiversity of that ecosystem. And I would also say if we can't save a creature as charismatic as the Vaquita porpoise, one of the most adorable creatures you'll find anywhere in the Pacific, then what hope do we have of finding or being able to save an animal like the Totoaba?
Right.
Yeah. And it's so disheartening that it's the Vaquita aren't the ones being hunted. They're just, it's like, just
it's like a victim of circumstance
caught in a crossfire. Yeah. And it's like, it's right. just, and it's just the greed of trying to catch these other fish, and be damned everything else that gets in the way. Mm. And you're decimating this just, and it's greed. It all comes down to greed, really. And when you're dealing, Peter, when you're dealing with greedy people, sometimes it seems to me as though they could be dangerous. A little video that we played, it struck me. You guys were like, I don't know, was somebody shooting the hose at you, or were you shooting the hose at the poachers? What was going on in that scene?
In that video, dozens of these small poaching boats were attacking our vessels. They were throwing Molotov cocktails onto the decks of the ship. Our vessels have been fired upon. They've shot down drones that we've used to document their criminal activity. But we do sail into harm's way. But the reality is that these are greedy individuals, and we speak the only language that they understand, and that's the language of profit and loss. Mm. And if we can cost their criminal operations money, then we can shut them down.
So it's, you know, I remember, you know, Paul has had hits out on him before, you know, and he's like other governments who support.
Right. I remember that. I remember.
Have put out warrants for his arrest. And it's just, it's crazy. You guys are trying to save the freaking planet, and they're it's gunning for you out of greed. It's disheartening. The greed.
Well, thankfully, we do have the support of the Mexican government in the Vaquita Refuge.
Good.
And so now on board our vessels, we do have the Mexican Navy on board. We do have Mexican federal police officers who are armed, who guard the ship, who guard our crew, and are there to protect us as we work to pull these nets out of the sea.
So, Peter, what are we looking at here? These three boats lined up. Are these the poachers? Can you see that?
It looks like they have Totoaba fish on board there on deck. And drones are really critical to the operations that we're doing. We're monitoring this refuge. Any evidence that we gather, we pass on to the police, to the prosecutor's office, and to the Navy. And I think you mentioned earlier, Jamie, that we need all kinds of people to support our work. We need captains and engineers on our ships. We also need passionate volunteers who may never have been out to sea before, but who are willing to do the hard work of pulling these nets out of the sea. But we also need legal help. We need lawyers. We need communications professionals like yourselves to get the word out. We need teachers to educate the next generation of conservationists. I think what's important is the battle to protect our oceans, to defend animals, to speak for the voiceless. That's something that has to be sustainable. We need to be able to do this long term because we have to turn this tide of destruction. And for it to be sustainable, anybody who enters this battle has to enter with their passions, with the things that they're good at, with the things that they love to do. And so if you can help from a legal standpoint as well, we would certainly welcome that. And that's the kind of evidence, like you saw on this image, that we can capture, turn over to the authorities, and hopefully get them behind bars.
So now with COVID going on, it's some interesting things are happening on the planet. Some turtles are having some really good days. Because there's less people on the beach, there's less invasive things going on. But you guys have been slowed down a little bit by COVID because you're following the rules and following the laws and the mandates and the restrictions put on you for working together and whatever. Has COVID given some advantage some of the poachers who have been out there? And what impact has that had on what you're doing and what people are doing?
Well, at Sea Shepherd, we have the responsibility for the safety of the vaquita. We also have the responsibility for the safety of our crew, for the safety of our partners from the Mexican government who come on board our ships. And so it's taken a little bit of time to get the ships out at sea. But the reality is that poachers don't stop because of a pandemic, and so neither can Sea Shepherd.
Sure.
And our concern is that with the economic downturn, that we may see more poaching activity in the vaquita refuge than we've seen in years previous. And that's why it was important to get there as soon as we possibly could.
So just, you know, if you stop the demand for these bladders from these other fish, that's what is going to the black market. But how do you stop the demand for it? You know, how do you know, people like their shark tail soup or whatever that heck it is that they believe is going to help them. And it's yeah, if there was a way to cut off the demand for the bladder, you know, it's I don't know.
We have to remember that this is a criminal market. Yeah. The killing of the Totoaba fish is illegal. This is a protected species. Then exporting it from Mexico to the United States or then from the United States to China, that violates a number of international agreements that protect endangered species. I mean, this is a criminal enterprise, and it's criminals engaged in it. So they're not going to respond to some kind of consumer boycott campaign. You can't buy Totoaba bladder at your local market, nor could you likely afford it. These Totoaba swim bladders are worth more in weight than cocaine. And so what we need to see is strong enforcement. We need to see these criminal operations shut down. We need to see the ringleaders, the Al Capones in these networks arrested and prosecuted. And in the interim, we need to ensure that we can pull up these nets every single day, because if we're not pulling up those nets, then every day could be a vaquita's last day.
Right. I'd almost like to see more stringent, the judicial system step up and, you know, provide additional, you know, ramifications. You know, you're going to spend the next 10, 15, 20 years in jail for A, B, and C. Right. Like, you know, it's almost not strong enough because the criminal enterprise almost seems to continue to grow. So they got to get stronger with the judicial system at the same point. It's just a thought.
The three biggest smuggling enterprises in the world are drugs, guns, and wildlife. And if you're smuggling wildlife from, say, the African continent to Southeast Asia, you're looking at maybe 7 years in prison if you get arrested in Singapore for smuggling ivory. If you get arrested for smuggling cocaine, I mean, the punishment is a lot more stringent, far more stringent than what we have here in the West. And it just doesn't add up. If the ivory then is more valuable than the drugs, then of course you're going to go with the lower risk, more high value product. Mm. And so we need to see wildlife crime treated as organized crime. Mm-hmm. And the networks that are behind the Totoaba smuggling these are not just poachers. These are organized criminals. And these are the same kinds of crime syndicates that are involved in other types of trafficking crimes.
Hmm. So, Peter, I was going somewhere. So it just went away. I had a brilliant question. Oh, I hate that. I'm having a week, man. I'm having a week and a half. But, oh, crud. What was I going to – jeepers, creepers. Sam came in here, and now we're all
now askew. We're off the rails.
Ah. So,
nice to meet you, Sam.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if he can hear me.
Yeah, he got
you.
Can.
Oh, okay.
We got you. You're live, Sam. So what other hotspots are there? I mean, you're working with the porpoise here, but you know, you guys are around the globe. So what are some of the other projects that you guys are actively working on?
We are. So we presently have the Bob Barker in the country of Gabon in Central West Africa. Gabon actually has the largest network of marine protected areas of any country around the African continent. And about a month ago, we assisted the Gabonese authorities to arrest two Chinese flagged trawlers for having over a ton of rays and ray fins on board. Last year, the country of Gabon banned shark finning, the finning of rays, the finning the first time that law was implemented, and those vessels a month later are still detained in port waiting for their judicial process. So that was a huge success. And working in Gabon, we've helped that country to arrest 12 ships since we started working there 4 years ago. And I think what's important is not only are we taking these poaching vessels off the sea where they can do no harm, but we're also causing a deterrent where we're preventing criminal operators from coming in. If they know that there's a patrolling force out there, then the benefit does not outweigh the risk. And that's another thing we're achieving in the Vaquita Refuge. If the poachers know that we're out there, they're less likely to risk their fishing nets. This is expensive fishing gear that they're losing when we pull them up. And so we're hoping to have a deterrent effect while also pulling up any nets that we do find.
That I remembered where I was going. I don't know how this slipped out of my head. Tiger King. It's like no, but let me get there. So anyway, be patient, Peter. Please be patient. But no, that ridiculous show, The Tiger King.
That should be interesting.
But brought to light that there are more tigers in captivity than there are in the wild. Are there vaquitas that are in conservation in captivity? Is there a way to keep this species going? Since the numbers are, I mean, we're down, you said 26 left in the wild. Are they in captivity anywhere that the species is going to be preserved?
There was an attempt made about 2 years ago to actually capture a vaquita in the wild to see if that was an option. And that vaquita died after just a few days in captivity. Mm. Vaquitas and cetaceans do not respond well to captivity, but they suffer immensely. These are animals that are used to tremendous ranges. They're highly intelligent creatures, and so that really isn't an option at all. The only option is to pull these nets out of the sea day by day and to get the criminal operations behind these illegal fishing operations behind bars. That's the only way to save the vaquita. And I'm convinced that if it wasn't for sea shepherds supported by the Mexican government working in the vaquita refuge every day during this Totoaba season for the past 5 years, then the vaquita would be gone already. There's no doubt in my mind that the vaquita would be extinct if it wasn't for sea shepherds supported by the Mexican government, supported by all of you who ensure that the vessels go to sea.
All right. Well, Peter, I thank you for your time and sharing this story with us, because we wanted to talk about it a little bit and dive into it a little bit with you. And thanks for all the work you do putting yourself in harm's way out there and just pulling them nets up in the sun. That's got to be hard work. So thank you for all the hard work that you're doing, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Good on you with the volunteers just putting their best foot forward. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. I think as animal lovers, we know there's so much animal cruelty in the world. We can feel like, how can we possibly save the world, right? But when we're pulling up one of these nets, when we're rescuing an animal from abuse, we can change the entire world for one individual creature. And that's what keeps our crew going every single day on the decks of our ships. Every net we pull up is basically a weapon disarmed. Every animal that's freed from the net is an entire life saved, and the entire world for that creature is saved. So thank you so much for having me on the show, for getting the word out there about what's happening with Nikita. And it's a pleasure to talk to fellow animal advocates.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Yeah, we'll have you on again. We'll it's been a long time. We've been doing the show for a long, long time. We talked to you a ton of years ago. So glad you're still doing it, and we'll check in again. We won't wait so long this time.
Fair.
My pleasure to join any time. So please reach out. I'll be on with again. Maybe less noise.
No, we love the dog. We love the dog.
We'll get it right next time as well.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, Peter. Be well.
Bye.
Bye.
Yay.
Did we have him on before, or was it a different?
It was a
we've had like everybody from this.
I think
we had
so
Paul
cool.
Watson. We had Paul Watson on. You were here when we did Captain Paul Watson.
Yeah,
because he was a guy, and this was like before we were live. Paul Watson was one of the guys that started Greenpeace.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
he felt Greenpeace wasn't doing enough and wasn't active enough, fighting as hard as it should have been. So he left and started another organization, and then finally started Sea Shepherd. Yeah. So Paul's hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the man for
Dang.
Sure.
Yeah.
So,
they take volunteers? Like, did he talk about that?
Yeah, yeah, just on their website. I mean, they need volunteers to, you know, do media stuff and to do legal stuff and then to be on the boats pulling up the nets.
I want to be like on the boat and
you can.
I want to like
they need
shoot
those
them.
You can
Not
volunteer.
Shoot them, like do videos.
You want to shoot the water?
Oh, I see. Take pictures like this?
Yeah, or like do a whole documentary kind of thing. Yeah, we can like interview them or like do something like a whole.
They do. Send them your resume. And next time you're out in California.
Is that where they are?
I think he said San Francisco or something.
Nice. I'm there frequently.
He said it was California. He mentioned California.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
So once the next time you go out to California to work with your Blink 182 boys.
That's right. But it's volunteer. There's no pay involved.
Yeah. You can go and you can,
I think it'd be cool.
Volunteer to take some pictures for them.
Yeah.
Or do like a whole little video.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to be on the boat and
you
like.
Missed the, yeah, there was a really cool video that they sent us that we shared a moment ago too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you later.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that was,
thanks for that, Jamie. Peter. It's always good to keep the word out there. It really is. You know, because as a conservationist, as an animal lover, it's important to know that there are people out there fighting the good fight, you know?
Yeah. And here's the other thing. With Sam's here now, so we finally have somebody to pick on.
Oh, right.
Sorry, I'm late.
Are you sure?
I hit
two traffics. You hit two traffics?
There was a... because I was at work and I was like, I didn't get any of your messages. And I was like, okay, hope they're not dead. And then I started crying in the car because I thought everybody was dead because nobody was responding to me. And then I was like,
Sam,
I'm not having a good day.
You're so Sam. Sam, you're so Sam.
No, I was just thinking, I was like, if they were dead, what would I do? And like, I just started crying.
Aw. I would cry too if we were dead. But well, thank you for your concern, Samantha.
Yeah, I was concerned. I was like, okay, nobody's replying. I'm gonna start calling people. Like something's gonna happen,
right? Because you were like, hey, you haven't said anything.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I've said a lot of things.
Yeah, no, I didn't get any. I don't know what's going on. I think my phone was acting up the other day, and I think it's acting up again. I thought I fixed it.
It's your phone. It's your phone.
Yeah,
blame it on the phone.
No, seriously, it is. I wasn't ignoring anybody.
Blame it on the rain.
You can look at my phone.
Blame it on the rain. Sorry, just breaking into my. Milli Vanilli here for you. Sam, well, you know, you're here.
Yeah.
Which means we got somebody to pick on.
Yes.
So I'm going to do this, and Matt's going to dig into his email.
I got it.
Oh, no.
I pulled it up.
I didn't even get an email. Backdoor fiction.
You decide. All right, there you go. Samantha.
Hello.
There are three facts. Two of them are true.
You got to play the song.
One is absolutely false. Created by me earlier when I should have been recording the junior varsity volleyball game. That's when you said, I know you're at school. I thought you saw that the volleyball game started.
Yeah, I did. I got a notification.
Oh, yeah. And
I meant like you're at school, you were actually at school.
I did. I was launching the program from here.
So oh, okay.
But I should have been doing that while I was writing. one of these fake facts. Two of these facts are absolutely true. One is completely false, created by me when I should have been filming the volleyball game. Sam, your mission is to ascertain which of these facts is the false
one.
And I don't know which one
all
is
right,
false.
All right, I stopped the music, Matt, so you can bring it up so I can bring up
Thank
the...
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, so
he's
you're ready.
He's getting the ready.
Yes, he is. Actually, he is.
All right,
yes,
there it is. There it is. Just reiterate.
Oh, guys, I dyed my hair.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Samantha, you look nice. Your hair is very
it
it's dark like your soul now.
Yep.
All right. Are you...
Look at that. Your hair is dark like your soul. That's not a very nice thing to say. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's kind of true.
It's kind of funny. It was funny. True. You know. It's...
You've said worse.
All right.
All right. All right. So headline number one. Sam, are you ready?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
Never.
So mountain lion spotted stalking children as they played in California neighborhood.
Okay, that sounds like it could be. That sounds like it could be true.
Headline number two: hawks are hunting house cats with five felines plucked from their neighborhood.
Maybe.
And number three: wild bear breaks into Alaska Zoo and kills alpaca.
Man, these are really dark
alpaca.
Stories.
They're kind of just like Sam's hair.
Spell it alpaca.
Yeah, A-L-P-A-C-A. Alpaca.
It's spelled correctly. Yes. Yeah.
All right, so headline number one again, Sam. Are you ready?
Okay.
Mountain lion spotted stalking children as they played in California neighborhood.
Sounds plausible.
Headline number two, hawks are hunting house cats with five felines plucked from their neighborhood. And number three, wild bear breaks into Alaska Zoo and kills alpaca.
Are alpacas in Alaska?
Eat your lasagna, Tina.
Gosh.
Trying to think.
All right.
One does sound like it's true.
Okay.
Which one?
Which?
What?
They're all very sad.
Two of them sound like they are true. The other one sounds false.
And that's
they are pretty dark, though. I'll give that
to
you.
They're all kind of, yeah.
Okay, so
sad.
That's the theme is animals killing things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, which
except the mountain lion, it didn't say that it killed the kids. It said it stalked them.
Stalking.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
But that does sound plausible.
Okay, so... Out with it, which
okay,
is it?
Okay, I'm going to say number...
No pressure.
Three is the false one.
False one?
Yeah. God damn it, was it number two?
Was
it one?
I don't know. I don't know.
You
we're down
wrote
to,
them!
No, I know, but we're down to a 50-50, and Matthew doesn't know.
I haven't the slightest clue.
I didn't tell him.
Okay, whatever Matt says, I'll say.
So you're down to a 50-50, Matt. Is it what are the two available still?
You know, the mountain lion spotted stalking children as they play in the neighborhood in California.
Uh-huh.
And then the hawks are hunting house cats with five felines plucked from their neighborhood. So,
okay.
You know, if I was a betting guy, and I'm really not, I'd still go hawks hunting the kitty cats.
Okay, that's what I was
going to
go
true
with
or false?
Is false.
Wile E. Coyote, super genius.
Well, he had it down to a 50-50, so.
Yeah.
I was still going number two.
That was
but,
my second answer, so.
Were you?
Yeah. That was my second answer.
But see, there was no... There were no misspellings. It was all spelled right.
Now he checks. He checks now.
Well, yeah, doing it really quick. And
I
here
shouldn't
you go.
Have told him my strategy.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Well, rest in peace to that alpaca.
Yeah. Yeah, a bear breaking into the, I didn't pull up the stories because I really didn't want to. Because they're kind of grim.
Yeah. Security is kind of lax at the Alaskan Zoo.
Yeah.
I'm
it's, yeah. So.
Wow. So the mountain lion spotted stalking children. That's kind of scary. You know? Everything going on in California. What else do you need to worry about?
Yeah. Fires.
Wildfires, volcanoes.
Mountain lions. I did go. I went to like a hiking trail in California and there was a sign like before you go in to the trail or whatever, the park, the trail, whatever. There was a sign of like if you see a mountain lion, what to do.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's so weird because like we don't have that here.
Right.
All right. So, and from there,
yes.
Really, the only other thing available would be
who's bad?
Dang, we're done already.
Yeah, you were late.
I was only 20 minutes. Like we usually go
it's
for an hour,
for
you guys.
The bad animal joke of the week.
Who's bad?
All right, bad animal joke of the week.
Here we go.
Are you ready for it, Samantha?
Maybe.
All right.
You got to keep playing the music. It's not as fun when you don't have the music.
I'll explain later.
Facebook is all cranky about music. Yeah. So.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So, what do you call an alpaca, Samantha, with a carrot in each ear? What do you call an alpaca with a carrot in each ear?
I can't hear you.
Yeah, nothing. You can call it anything because it's not going to come. I can't hear you anyway.
Oh, wow. Ha ha.
All right.
There better be another one.
What?
You could say that with anything.
I know. Well, I was looking for alpaca jokes, right?
Yeah, because that one died?
We're really dark today.
Let's focus on the funny here, Sam. All right. Well, this isn't good for the grape. What did the grape say?
They did surgery on a grape.
When the alpaca stood on it.
It let out a little wine.
It let out a little wine.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Hey, I had nothing to do with any of this.
One more.
All right. Oh, I got two. I got a couple more.
Yes.
What do you call it when an alpaca sings?
Mm.
I don't know.
Alpaca capella.
Ah!
I don't even know if I said that right, but you got the...
Alpaca.
Hey, road trip.
Yeah.
Alpaca my bags.
Yeah.
All right, one last one. One last one.
Go for it.
What do you call an alpaca taking over the world?
Ooh. It's the same thing we do everything, Pinky.
Oh, God.
What do you call
thing we do every night?
What do you call when the alpacas take over the world?
I don't know.
The apocalypse.
Yeah, it's the same thing we do every night, Pinky. Trying to take over the world. Yes.
Oh,
you guys need some funny ones.
Those were funny.
Says the old guys, right?
I already knew one of them.
All right, Samantha, tell people a little something, something.
Okay, so you can visit our website, www.animaltalkradio.com. You don't need the www.
You
I just
do
like
need
to
the
see
www.
It. You no? kind of do, yeah.
Oh, well, you can just type
you can
it.
Type you can it type in it now. In. You don't need www anymore.
Sure, no.
Go on.
And then follow us on our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all at Animal Talk Radio. Merch site, wearingfunny.com.
Yeah.
There it is.
YouTube, Animal Talk TV.
Yes.
Yes.
You go,
that
girl.
That is how it works. That is.
Go and, like
and
it.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yay.
We did it. I was only here for 20
minutes. I used
minutes.
To be addicted to the Hokey Pokey, but I turned my life around.
Can you turn yourself?
All right.
See, I, that got her a laugh.
There was no animal joke. The alpaca was addicted to the Hokey Pokey, but he turned his life around. There you go. We made an alpaca joke. All right, there you go. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. We appreciate everybody being here. Thank you to our guest, Peter Hammerstedt. Yes, yeah. from the seashepherd.org.
The easy name of his say. Boat. The Bob Barker.
The Bob Barker. Yeah. I thought he was on the Sharpie. I knew he was on the Barker before, but yeah. So the Sharpie is a cool looking boat. But anyway, seashepherd.org, way to get involved and donate. Save those little baby porpoises.
Please.
Because, man, it'll be a tragedy if they disappear from the planet. It'll be very sad. Till next time, please have an exotic week.
And kiss your wild thing for me.